Hello, and welcome back to another episode of True Crime 140. I guess it's not another episode because this is the first episode, but let's get going. Today, really, really weird. Some of my friends and family about the case and what they thought about everything. We are going to be talking about the Skelton Brothers case. Stuff going on. I actually live like 20 minutes away from where this all went down, which makes it kind of scary, which is, I guess, kind of cool. But let's get started. So the case is still open. It happened in 2010, specifically on Thanksgiving of 2010. And I actually got a chance to talk to three brothers, Tanner, Alexander, and Andrew, who were 5, 7, 9 at the time, mysteriously went missing after having last been seen with their father. They vanished out of nowhere on Thanksgiving in 2010, whose name is John Skelton. So far in the case, nothing has been found. No remains or bodies have been found of the boys, so there's no confirmation of whether they're alive or not, and the family did not realize that they were missing until the next day, Black Friday of 2010. And we'll get more into it in a minute, but they have not been found staying with anybody, and currently John Skelton, the father, is his earliest possible release date is November of 2020. So I think that this case is probably gonna get a little more wild, or at least get picked up by the media in the next few months, as he is available for serving time in Bellamy Creek Correctional Facility in Ionia, Michigan. And he has been in solitary confinement for quite some time. Release. So let's start talking about the family. So the mother's name is Tanya Zuvers. And like I said, the father is John Skelton. Tanya and John had a pretty rocky marriage, and it was well known that they had a pretty rocky marriage. Tanya had recently filed for divorce just before the kids went missing. So John had really wanted to move to Florida, apparently, and so he was constantly urging Tanya that they should move to Florida, that it's warmer, but Tanya didn't want to move. All of her family was in Morenci, all of his family was in Morenci. John was a truck driver, but other than that, he didn't really have a regular or steady job. They didn't want to move, but John was very adamant about it, so much that they got into a sort of fight, and John took all three of the boys and fled to Florida, and later claimed that he was taking them on a, quote, family vacation. And they were wrapped up in this pretty intense custody battle, but they still maintained joint custody. I think this was where Tanya first started seeing problems with John and his relationship to the boys, and this is kind of what spurred this long, drawn-out custody battle that obviously was never resolved. So after this incident where he took the boys to Florida without permission, without telling anyone, they had had a lot of arguments afterwards, but nothing changed regarding their custody. He said that he was still able to see the kids without issues afterwards, and it was just kind of like a blip in their radar. It wasn't really much, but looking back at it, Tanya obviously sees that this was a big part of the problem, and it was a very big red flag that she might have ignored. Around this time, both of them started talking to attorneys, and Tanya actually said that out of the several hundred attorneys in Lenawee County, they had both end up accidentally going to the same attorney. And so this was all prior to the actual, once John found out that Tanya decided to keep the attorney, in which John had to find a different attorney, that's when he got angry and took the boys to Florida. Tanya says that right when he found out, he was very, very angry. He like flew out of the driveway, took the kids, and wouldn't respond for large amounts of time, and then took the kids to Florida all the way from Michigan. Event were seen. They were seen with John, the father. And this was prior to everything happening. So the last time the boys, Tanya said that she remembers having a phone call with John, and she vividly remembers like hearing a bunch of noise in the background, and she heard like the boys playing, and he said that it was them playing video games, but she wasn't sure if that was on Wednesday or Thursday, the Thanksgiving. On the next Friday, John claimed that he and the boys had gone with his friend named Joanne Taylor to a Thanksgiving dinner. He later changed his story that the boys were actually alone with Joanne Taylor and her family at Thanksgiving, and that they would spend the night and that she would take them back home on Friday. Prior to this, Tanya had never heard of Joanne Taylor, other than once in early fall, around September or October, she said she remembers getting a friend request from, but she later found out through the police that the account was made by John himself. A woman named Joanne Taylor on Facebook, so her original, and now that plans had changed and this woman, Joanne Taylor, would be taking them home, she got a little nervous. Plan with John on Thanksgiving was for the boys to be dropped off at 3 p.m. on Friday after Thanksgiving. And John also got very evasive. He was very standoffish, and he was very unsure about what Joanne Taylor was doing, and he didn't have like a phone number for her to contact, and this caused Tanya to get even more worried. So she contacted her attorney for counsel, and her attorney told her to wait till a little bit after 3, like 3:10, 3:15, before contacting the police. But she was so nervous about this that at 3:01 exactly, she contacted the Morenci Police Department, and she said that nobody answered. And so she called the Michigan State Police, and they told her to contact Morenci Police Department. So she was kind of stuck in this loop. Meanwhile, not knowing where her kids are, not knowing the woman that she's with, not being able to contact the woman she's with. It was very convenient for them for custody purposes. So her attorney told her not to go inside of John's house, but Tanya's sister said that she would. So she tried to, but there was a piece of wood or something that was purposely placed to block the door so she couldn't open it. While Tanya's sister was trying to get into John's house, Tanya's dad and brother-in-law drove around town looking for any police officer because they weren't answering the phones, and she needed to find out what was going on. Also, while she was on the phone with the attorney, he said not to go inside of John's house. At this time, John and Tanya had lived just around the corner from each other. Tanya also had contacted the hospital that John was in. After she contacted the hospital, she spoke with a nurse who told her that John came in and claimed that he had tried to kill himself by hanging, and he must have fallen while trying to commit suicide and broken his foot. So, at the time, John was in the hospital for trying to kill himself. There were no cops around. No one was able to be contacted. The boys were still missing. Nobody could contact Joanne Taylor. Everyone was just in a state of confusion. They finally found a police officer, and they went into John's house. At this point, and Tanya kind of felt like it was representative of him stabbing her. The police officers, they saw the severity of what was going on, and they sent out an Amber Alert immediately. The police chief at the time, Chief Weeks, told Tanya that the FBI would be there in the morning and that other investigators from Washington, D.C. would be there and that they might not have time to. And they didn't find the boys, but they saw just this huge mess. Tanya said it was just mass destruction. There was like a glass jar that was smashed in the sink. The cabinets were destroyed. There were several gashes in Tanya's bed as if he were stabbing the bed. Speak one-on-one because there would be so many people in this small town. So before we go into too much of the theories or more about John and his later testimonies, let's talk a little bit about Morenci. So like I said, Morenci is a very small town close by to the small town I live in, and the population has been steadily decreasing. In the 2010 census, the population was 2,220 people. School district, there's one highway that goes through Morenci, and there's not much else to say about that. Morenci is just a very, very quaint town. It's one of those towns that if people want to do something fun, they have to go out of town. And by going out of town, that's just going to a neighboring small town that's slightly bigger. I know a few people from Morenci personally, and whenever people say they're from Morenci, it's kind of like this stigma comes over them. Not because of like this incident or anything like that, but it's just like Morenci is just a small town full of nothing, basically. I know a lot of people that I work with in my town, neighboring Morenci, that live in Morenci, and they have to take like a 25-30 minute commute to work just to go to. There's one, a minimum wage paying job because there's no restaurants, there's no fast food, there's nothing out there. So it's a very small, quaint, typical small town in southern Michigan. Morenci is also very, very close to the Ohio border. It's about 10 minutes away from Ohio when you're in the center of Morenci. So it's closer to Ohio than it is to my town, honestly. If the potential bodies had been taken anywhere in Ohio and how they would investigate that, being that these are Michigan State Police searching in Ohio, it's been well known by the several investigators. So now let's talk a little bit more about John. So John has an inability to tell the truth or be concise about his stories. In interrogations that he's endured, that his story always changes just a little bit, or sometimes it changes completely. When everything started blowing up and this case became a huge spectacle, it was very difficult for investigators because they didn't know. And he always talks about how he just wanted to protect the boys, and specifically he wanted to protect the boys from Tanya. So she pled guilty to sexual conduct with a minor in the fourth degree, and she went to prison and was on the sex offender registry. So Tanya has a history way before any of this went down. It was before the boys were even born. In 1998, Tanya had pled guilty to sexual conduct with a minor. Like I said, like this was something that John knew about way before any of this. But when all of this started blowing up and he was looking for kind of excuses to, there was even a time where John told the children that she had been to prison, why the boys went missing and why he was trying to get custody of them and take them to Florida. It was always about this history of Tanya's, that she was a monster and she was going to leave the boys, almost as if he was trying to turn them against her or scare them. So like I said, John is currently being that she had sex with a 14-year-old. serving time in Bellamy Creek Correctional Facility in solitary. Though it hasn't been proven, John is probably one of the most confinement. He isn't in there for murder because obviously it hasn't been proven. Compelling suspects. Later, after everything had gone down, police searched through John's computer and they looked through his search history and some of the highlights that they found. Searches along the lines of, quote, does rat poison kill children, end quote, or, quote, can you break someone's neck with your hands? Were, and John, of course, said that this was about the boys, that the boys asked John to look this up and that he was searching this information for them. So to John, really, Tanya was the one in the wrong. He was the one that was trying to save them again from Tanya because of this history that she had or whatever else. And to John, Tanya was the one that stole the boys from him when he took them to Florida. Tanya also talked a lot about his recent obsession with VR, lack of reality. He was constantly lying. He was constantly placing himself as the hero. Virtual reality games, claiming that it might have kind of started his and painting everyone else as the person to blame. And because John was such an easy suspect, I think Tanya's side has kind of been the main focus. They've all been very, very silent. Tanya's family, on the other hand, has been very outspoken about everything. They have been very outspoken about how all they want is to find the kids. All they want is to make sure that everyone is safe and figure out what happened. While John's family has been very silent, they don't respond to media. They will decline interviews from media and other things like that. And this kind of made, lastly, regarding John's family, Tanya a little bit skeptical that they may know something just because of how willing her family is to find out information of this whole story. Tanya's story has been used as fact and truth, while John's is just convoluted and no one can really understand what he's saying and no one can know whether or not he's lying. All right, so I know that was a lot, but let's get into the main theories. The first theory, I think, is the most popular, and that is that John killed the boys and dumped the bodies somewhere that we haven't found yet. I asked my family and other people that I'm close to of what they kind of thought about everything that was going on, and most people agreed. And honestly, I think that's a very valid theory, and said that they thought that John had killed the boys and dumped the bodies somewhere and we just haven't found out where. Just because there's nothing else, you know, I feel like we would have. It just seems very realistic that, having it been almost 10 years after everything, like, I feel like if they were with someone, that they would have been found. You know, especially since the oldest, Andrew, would be, what, 20 at the time? 20. He would be 20 now. They aren't alive, especially this 20-year-old man taken at the age of 9. He would be able to know what was going on, or at least understand that people are talking about him and, you know, see things like his picture all over Michigan, even if he's not from here. Like, who is, to me, it just feels like that's very logical to assume. And apparently that's what a lot of other people think. Media that has said that John said he gave the boys to this kind of religious group, again, as a way to, quote, save them from Tanya, that John had created, kind of. So if we do follow with this theory that the boys are alive and with someone, that opens up a whole other question about who are they with. The second theory, of course, is that the boys are still alive and they're staying with someone. As I said before, the woman, Joanne Taylor, was found to be a fake person, but police have never found any of the groups that he has allegedly named. And there have been some different articles, and it's just led us into another dead end. Again, if the boys were alive, they would be 20, 17, and 15, and they would have to know something about what was going on. You know, what was their childhood? Why don't they look like whoever they're with? And then the third theory is that Tanya knows where they are and that this was a plot. There's just a lot of questions still in the air if that theory is true. This one isn't very popular, but I did find some people on Reddit saying, like, this woman is a danger to minors, and of course it's easiest to go after your child, your own child, rather than going after somebody else's. So some people seem to think that Tanya, that she created, truly is the one that worked with John and framed John so that he would go to jail, when really she has the boys, or she knows where they are, or possibly that she is the one that killed them. And this one is kind of touchy just because of how open Tanya has been about how much she misses them and how much she has put into finding these boys. This is an unsolved mystery. Personally, I am very interested in this story just because, like I said, it's literally 20 minutes away from where I live. And it happened 10 years ago, but it's still open and it's still going. And whenever you search the Skelton Brothers, like, all the articles that come up are from 2019, from 2018. They're not many are from 2010 or even the following years after that. So it just kind of shows, like, the recent boom in true crime. And I really hope that we find out what happened, whether that be finding remains or finding the boys and getting them home safe. I am also interested in seeing next year what happens with John and if he is released or if he has time added onto his sentence or whatever else. But I think it will again spark this case and get more people talking about this case. Her boys.